we come before you as your people. And in Jesus' name right now, Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for a place that we can meet, Father, in Jesus' name, that we can get together, Lord God, and look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, for all things, Lord God, for direction, for peace, for relief and rest, Lord God, and comfort, Father, amidst difficulties, Lord, and so many different things going on around us, Lord. Lord, we look to you, Father. We are so grateful, Lord, that you sustain your people, Lord, that you and your life flows into us, Father, and gives us the way through, Lord God, this mess of what life can be, Lord, apart from you. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, we just commit this time completely into your hands and into your care. We bind every demonic force and every work of the devil, and we cast it out. And, Lord, we proclaim and we release and yield to the free flow of your Spirit in this time. I acknowledge openly, Lord, there's nothing good in me but your Spirit. And to your Spirit I yield right now, Father. I pray, Lord, have your will in your way as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Amen. So, let's see here. Let's go back. Okay, we started a series last time. Last time we started a new series. Yeah, I know. We've been moving right along. We've been booking it. Because there's much, much, much to be covered and to be talked about in these days. But we started a new series entitled Freedom. And the reason that... actually, here, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Okay. I had it there. There it is. Okay. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." All right. I'm just going to stop there.
Oh my God. You won't believe it. I was driving up here. And I was just saying this in my mind. It just randomly came. And am I reading this? I'm serious. I promise you.
Very cool. Well, that's just... Okay. The thing that I'm always continually learning is God gives the same message to his entire body. And like sometimes we're in different places because like maybe, you know, one... piece is struggling with something here and struggling with something there. So, like if you, like in your body, like if my arm is under a bit of stress or strain, you know, it might get a little bit of a different, you know, whatever it needs at that moment in time than maybe my feet do. Yeah. But eventually, like, we're still getting the same underlying message for the entire body of Christ as well, which is coming, which basically is like, okay, body, time to get up and move over there. Body, time to get up and move over here. Body, time to sleep. Body, time to rest. Body, time to fight. So the message right now that's going forward even to the body of Christ at large is along these lines as well, which is stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, for freedom, you know, also there's other versions where it says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again unto a yoke of slavery. Same thing, same song, different, same song, same verse, but different interpretation of the same thing. Ultimately, God set us free in Christ Jesus. And we were designed as human beings, made in the image and likeness of God, to live free, to walk free, to be ultimately what God made us to be. So every person that walks around on this planet, that is living here in this world, just trying to function and go through life in this place, they've got this inbuilt inside of them, this desire to be free and to know what that freedom is. So like when people when they try to heap up enormous amounts of wealth, for example, in the heaping up process of wealth, the thought being, if you can just get enough money, then you can retire being, then you get to be free from the slavery of your job kind of thing, or you can get enough that you now have enough breathing room so you have some options in life and the decisions and the choices that you make. So the goal for so many people is, because they're slaves, they think that, okay, let me get enough cash and that will grant me freedom, and then that freedom then, but that's not it. People's substance abuse is a big one for people, and basically people live in certain bondages. They live in mental bondages because of things that have happened to them or things that they've done. They live in bondages because of their life situations and their work or whatever it is. And so when they get engaged in substance abuse, the purpose of that by and large is they want release. They want some sort of freedom in the end from that hellish reality that they're in. So they try to drown it out with alcohol or drugs or whatever. But the problem is, when they sober up, they're right back in the middle of it, plus everything else that happened with that last round of substance abuse, which just tacks more onto the same thing. So the desire is there to be free, but there's always the yoke of bondage that's packaged in the way the world offers its freedom. The world that gives a certain type of illusion of freedom for certain things, but the product of it and the byproduct of it is more and more and more bondage. So overt sexual behavior and like illicit sexual activity, that becomes a form of, and just talk openly about it, that becomes a form of bondage. So when people think, oh, okay, you know, look at me, I'm a swinger and I've got my thing going on, and you've got five girls or girls got this, that going on, and they think that by it, you know, they'll get, but the problem is in the end, more and more slavery, bondage, physical addiction to that, mental slavery, mental problem, all those issues that are there that are a byproduct of the world system, flesh that's left to itself apart from God, but still inside of a person there's a desire to be free. They want that and they're looking for that, and but you know, what's that song, looking for love in all the wrong places? I mean, it's like the problem, it is really that. Looking for freedom and the hope of that, but in all the wrong places. Now, ultimately, for somebody that's in a relationship with Christ, for those of us that have that, we know what true freedom is. Because you've tasted that. You've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You've tasted what it's like to have a release from all of the bondages that this world will shackle on you. You've experienced moments of bliss, if you would, where it's just like, oh wow, I don't feel the pain from all of this stuff anymore. Now, what happens though is people will oftentimes go from that right back into different forms of slavery all over again, because they're surrounded.
And they're searching for the right kind of truth.
And there's very few people that have committed themselves to an actual path of freedom. It's different for you to experience a moment of the jail cell being opened up, the door being opened for a second, looking outside, oh wow, look, it's green grass outside, and then the door being closed, versus actually walking out and then living out that which Christ made for you. Because we went through that John 10:10, that He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, so God intended for us to have freedom, to live in freedom, to walk in that, to know that, to experience that on a day-to-day basis, and to basically be that in your entire existence while you're here in the world. Now, that potential of freedom is the most dangerous thing to the world and the world system for anyone that would understand that, realize that, walk that out, which is why the vast majority of the world's resource is put towards keeping you from ever seeing and understanding that light and that truth. So there's massive amounts of what the world has put just to keep you from getting this message, just to keep you from understanding this truth for yourself. They come out of the woodwork, because what happens is, if you know it, if you know the freedom that you have in Christ, if you begin to live that, if you come into the reality of who Christ made you to be, you, just as a single person, is enough to destroy and shut down the whole system as is, to rupture everything that they've been working on. Like, just, I was reading today Elijah, you know, how, you know, in Kings, how with Jezebel and the prophets, and just basically like one man just walking with God. The time came for a confrontation, and God answered his prayer, and the 400 prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, those guys showed up. Nothing happened with them. Then God answers the prayer of Elijah, and the people fall on their face before God. The Lord, He is God. They put to death the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. And I mean, it's just like one person just changes the whole paradigm, shifts the whole thing. Just one. So if one person, and scriptures talk about too, the fact that Elijah was a man just like you and me. You know, he had struggles, he had issues, he had things that he was dealing with as well. He was struggling with his own humanity shortly after that whole thing. Shortly after that whole thing, you know, he's on the run for his life. He's struggling with his own limitation of So Elijah's struggling with his own limitation. Oh, series part two, freedom. Okay. He's struggling with his own limitation in himself of, you know, like, I can't do this anymore. And basically, Lord, I've had enough. I mean, right after massive miracle and all of those things that take place, and the people drop on their face before God, all of that happens, and then in the process, you know, he's just so fed up, because like, what more does it take? I can't do this anymore. So we wrestle with our humanity while we're here. We wrestle with that during this lifetime. That's part and parcel of the course. That is something you have to reconcile yourself to, that you will be dealing with these issues of your own humanity. And the sooner that you can embrace that struggle and just basically just grab it with both hands and let God take you through that and deal with the issues that are going on within you, the sooner that you embrace that instead of like pussyfooting around, you know, and not dealing with stuff and then just hoping that it'll just go away. No, dig into it, let it be there, be raw, let God help you with that so that you can then move on. So Elijah, he's struggling with that, he has his own issues. You and I are in a new time, you and I are in a new place, and yet it's the same world system, it's the same struggle that we've had, it's the same clash with light and dark, it's the same world system which vastly outnumbers on a natural level the few servants of God that are walking around in this place, and yet we walk through this life strong. We walk through this life with the power of God flowing through us. We walk through this life with every resource of heaven made available to us. And at the moment, God can take one of us and turn the entire thing upside down, shatter kingdoms, shatter nations, turn upside down the thrones of kings and despots. Nebuchadnezzar in all of his splendors loses his brain for 7 years. So it's like, and they know that. See, they recognize when it comes to an actual child of God too, they recognize that there is a certain power that's in you, which is why they work to kill you, which is why they work to marginalize you, which is why they work to keep opportunities away from you, which is why they work very hard to keep you in a certain place if at all possible. But when you and I grab 100% hold of the reality that we have in Christ, that's a point of amazing victory, because out of that reality, out of that walk, that's where we shift into what we were made to be. And then we go through a growth process of, like, you know, you're an oak tree, but now you're getting bigger and stronger as an oak tree. Your roots are growing deeper, things that used to be struggles and issues for you 2 years ago, this season you're like, okay, this is no problem, no issue. Let's move on with what God's doing. Now, the freedom that God calls us into is, and we discussed a little bit about the difference between what the world offers, which is a real pathetic substitute, which is actually more bondage. But people inherently within desire that, and they desire that with the pursuits that they go after. So you see that with the world, with their quests for certain things, material or certain behaviors that they engage in, whatever it is, but ultimately none of that will grant any sort of freedom. They just end up more and more and more in bondage. And they basically, what happens is their given position based on their enslavement to the system plus their willingness to enslave and hurt and harm others and convert others to slavery as well. So they're given position in the system based on that. They're used up for a period of time, whatever gifts, talents, abilities that they may have in them, those are used to perpetuate the system, and then when the world is done with them, it knocks them off, bumps them off, kills them, or shuttles them off to an old folks home and locks them up and tortures them and then knocks them off after it's bled them dry of any cash that they might have. Flip side is God calls people into true freedom, but the freedom that he has comes on his terms. Now the starting point is for us to yield to his kingdom and his lordship. Now that is an initial entry point into this walk of freedom that we're called to. So go all the way back to Matthew. And Matthew chapter 6. Now I know sometimes I'll use some scriptures a few times over, but they'll always be in a different context. And part of the reason why I think God does that even with us is because he is showing in a way the inexhaustible nature of even certain scriptures. Like the whole word is inexhaustible. There is you can never max this thing out. There's just like I can preach from this thing for the next 200 years and I won't get 1/10 of 100% of what's in here. There's so much in here. So anyways, scripture we touched on before, but bridges into this. And after verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Okay, now this is what people call, you know, the Lord's Prayer, but it's the disciples' prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, the prayer that we are taught to pray. And, you know, because they were asking, how do we pray? It's like, okay.
Here's an example.
But it's something you can also use as a template to take you through when you spend time in prayer. So if you ever like struggling, okay, how do I pray? Just stop. Okay. Take this and spend time on each one of those sections and just let the elaboration from that come from your own heart. So when he's teaching our Father who art in heaven, just praise God for who he is. But then when you go on, because also God inhabits the praises of his people, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Now, when a person prays that, what you're doing is you're inviting the lordship and the rulership of Christ Jesus in your life. And the willingness to bow before the King of Kings and the willingness to allow yourself to be a slave unto righteousness and a slave unto truth and a slave unto him is the beginning point of actual true freedom. So it's a paradox. People think that in themselves, if you are outside the plan of God and you're doing whatever, wherever, with whomever, that there is, you know, that's the path of freedom, but that's actually the path of bondage and the path of enslavement. Versus the person that bows their knee to the King of Kings that is the person that begins on the path of knowing what true freedom really is. So the paradox is there. So the kingdom of God is full of paradoxes. This life in Christ is full of paradoxes. In bowing to the king and being a servant and a subject in the kingdom of God, you know what freedom is. In seeking to be set, in seeking to be in rebellion to the king, is in actuality enslaving yourself and choosing to be a slave of this world system. And that, you know, there's that old Bob Dylan song, serve somebody, you're going to have to serve somebody. It says it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody, you know. And it's like, I mean, it's true. It's like in the end you will end up serving someone. You will end up bowing your knee before someone. And you can, if you bow to yourself, and which is ultimately also to your flesh and to this world, you will be a slave to that. And you get everything that comes along with that. And those of us that have enough of an understanding of what that might entail, you don't want that at all. Versus, when you bow your knee to the king, you begin that path of freedom. But now, Jesus is a way. He's not a prayer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. So Jesus is a direction, a spiritual direction that you take and you walk out every day while you're here in this life. So part of that direction is an alignment that takes place in us. Now we already did an entire series on alignment, and it's good if you know, didn't catch all of that one, to go back through it, because excuse me, because there are aspects of alignment that if you can do in yourself that will help bring you to a place for the free flow of God in and through you. So for example, you can get just think of it like a clock. You know, if you have the second hand, you have the, like a sweep hand clock, you have the second hand, you have the minutes, and you have the hours. Now there's one point, and only one point, twice a day, where all three come together. 1, 2, and 3. And they're all pointing in that direction of 12, pointing to up. And likewise, you have your spirit, you have your soul, you have your body, you've got your flesh. Yes and no, in that everything's interconnected. Now, and I don't want to like segment these things out, you know, because it's. But for the sake of, you know, trying to bring some semblance of understanding to these different parts of our who we are. But there is, everything's interconnected as well as, but there's a distinct nature to different things. For example, your spirit can be dead. You can have a dead spirit, but your soul is still functioning, you know, in the person that you are. So the soulish mind that's even in that enmity with God. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You know, you can also have a spirit that's alive, but you can have a mind that's in you that needs to be transformed into what God's, you know, so there's that going on there. Then you've got, yeah.
So that's like mediator in its own way,
right?
So connected.
You know, the good way that it was explained to me one time was like, okay, when you have to make a decision in life, what happens is like this table here, your spirit, your flesh, and your soul will sit down to make that decision. And the...
Can you say spirit is a conscience? Your conscience. You can say...
I was reading about the conscience even earlier today. You know, the thing about the conscience is, that's again something that's inbuilt. Because like people have a conscience. That's again like there's a God-given desire to be free. There's also a God-given conscience that people have. Now, people can sear that. You can sear that so that you don't hear it anymore. So you can engage in willful behavior again and again and again until the point where the conscience, the voice of it, you've smashed it down so much, you just don't hear it anymore. You can do just about anything. You can go kill babies and run over seals with, you know, monster trucks and not feel anything about it. You know, so you can get to that point, but everyone is born with a God-given conscience, just like you were born with a desire to be free. So these are certain inbuilt aspects of us being made in the image and the likeness of God. Now, but basically when you have to make a decision, the way that it was talked to me about was your flesh, your soul, and your spirit sit down to make that choice. And your flesh will have one idea. Your spirit, which is desires the things of God and is alive in Him, is pulling you in another way. And you've got to make that willful choice with your soul of what you're going to do. So that's why, too, the admonition of let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is so important, because you need, and I need, a transformation. We need a new heart. We need a new way that we relate to this reality. We need a new way that we relate to life in this world. And God does that, but He does that on His terms, and He also does that as you and I bow our knee before Him and yield to that process. So, like the clock, again, you've got the three hands that are touching at that one point. You can also, in different aspects of who you are, bring yourself into an alignment where all those are pointing in the same direction. So you can do that in your flesh, you can do that in your spirit, you can do that with your soul. So, and whenever, and then if you've made that a deliberate point and a deliberate decision, when you get out of alignment with one of those, so when one goes this way, one goes this way, you stop, you bow your knee before the Lord, and you click, get them back there again. So this is a deliberate choice. This is a deliberate course of action that a person makes. It's a willful decision that you make. It becomes a priority. When something in you just is crying out to be free, you don't want to be mastered by anything but the Father. See, that's something too. We become like bucking broncos. Have you ever, like, you've ever seen, like, those rodeos, you know, where, like, you know, something on TV where it's like, okay, here's, you know, these cowboys, and then they take this horse or this Brahma bull, this massive bull, just, you know, from the wild, and then they take them and they put them in this little chute, and they keep them locked in there like that for a little bit, and then they put this little guy on his back, and then they open it up, and when they open it up, that thing cannot stand to have that little guy on his back. You know, so it's just, he will just buck and turn and twist, and they actually have bulls, you know, that are rated for their ability to throw people and their movement, and just like how wild and ferocious they are in getting rid of somebody that's on their back. And we, when you start tasting what that freedom is like, you don't become like the mass of this world, which are these McDonald's cows, you know, on the fast track to hell. I mean, the bulk of the world is just like those regular cows. You know, they're just kind of like, they're just all being herded, you know, in this little, you know, big corridor towards the golden arches. You know, they're just working their way over, just moving in that whole thing towards the slaughterhouse. Yeah. They're just, whereas like the people of God, you know, when you've tasted freedom, you know what the freedom is that you have in Christ. And so for us, it comes to this point where it's like, if something is on my back, you take those big herds going into like the McDonald's slaughterhouse, anybody can jump on their back. They don't care. It's kind of moving along. But like for us, when you have anything on you that's not meant to be there, there is something in you that just wants to get rid of that thing. You can't stand it there. And you don't want to be shackled with anything that's not Christ. So you don't want that monkey on your back, as it were. You don't want that enslavement to. So even if you have an addiction, even if you have an issue, even if you have something there, even if you have unforgiveness in your heart, even if you have whatever it is, whatever that thing is that you know is a block to your true freedom in Christ, you don't want it. You can't stand it, and you want to get rid of that. And so it's like you will go up again and again and buck over and over and keep going back to the Father time and again until that thing is shaken off of you, and you will jump and twist and turn until you get to that place where that little man is gone. His 8 seconds is up. It's over. You know, get off of me. Yeah, and you know, and but if you make it to your 8 seconds, because I'm going to get rid of you before that. So, likewise, you know, we are that kind of people. You know, and we don't fit. We make a mess of everything. They don't want you. You get that bucking bull inside of a china shop. They don't want you in there because you won't play ball. So we are that kind of a people. We're made that way. You know, and so for us, you know, the world is this mass herd. Excuse me. And we won't go with that. Now, God has given you and I a power to be able to be free. You go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1.
I was told I should use my preacher voice when I start talking now. So maybe we'll
my dad the other day, he was talking to me, said, you know, he's like, you should really use your preacher voice, you know,
the one that they talk like this because their voice changed, now we're taking me seriously.
Yeah, okay, all right, sorry, I'll move on. Okay, verse 7, it says, all right. Well, okay, actually let me touch on verse 7, even though it's a little bit unrelated. I wanted to get verse 8. But verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay. God, first of all, everybody was obsessed with something external. You know, when is the you know, is now going to be the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? You know, are you now going to fulfill all these prophecies, the Messiah, all of our expectations of what we believe should happen now? This kingdom's going to be here. This one's going to happen. And, you know, today, everybody's obsessed with, okay, when's the temple going to be rebuilt? And when is, who's the Antichrist? And all those different things people are on. And Jesus, he takes it from the external and pulls it back again to the internal, because Luke 17:20 and 21 says the kingdom of God is within you. We keep going back to that because I keep having to come back to that. God keeps bringing me back to that, hammering this over and over and over and over again, because the kingdom of God is within you, and people are looking for an external reality, an external shift, an external change, and the freedom and the kingdom is within. And if that resolution and that understanding is there and you come to that place of freedom in Christ Jesus within, doesn't matter what's going on externally. You can live in that. You can know that. And you can walk through this life in that. God's destined you for that. So here, even in this situation, there's a lot of anticipations that people have for what these external events will be. But, you know, in the middle of all of that, you and I don't know what tomorrow will hold. You could be run over by a truck. You could be, you know, tsunami, earthquake, flood, famine. Who cares what's happening over there? You know, I mean, we do care, but I'm saying, like, to the people that were wiped out in the tsunami. Yeah, to the people that were wiped out in the tsunami, that was their Armageddon. You know, to the people that died in the last earthquake, wherever, that was it for them. They were done. That was their tribulation. That was their rapture. That was the finishing point for them. The breath that was on loan to them from God was taken back, and now they have gone on into an eternal reality that depends where they were within. So God is constantly trying to get people back to what's really important, which is, where are you within and in relationship to Him? So Now, when he goes on to verse 8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Okay, that word witness is the same word, it's the word martus, which is where they get the word martyr from. So when he says here, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses," you shall have the power basically to put to death. Now, back to the whole thing about freedom. You now have the Holy Spirit power of God given unto you to put to death in your life anything that keeps you from being what God intended for you to be. See, before you were walking with Christ, before you were in a place where the Spirit of God, where you bowed your knee by a willful choice before Him, before that, you were in a place where you had no power in you. You were just stuck. Whatever came your way, you were going along with it. You were just being like a pinball in a machine. The world, ding, 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 ding. You were just being knocked all over the place, wondering what the hell is happening to me. You know, it just goes from bad to worse, bad to worse, bad to worse. Stop. Thank you for Jesus. He reaches in. You've got a Savior. The Savior reaches in. Hand comes in. Pulls you into the lifeboat, just like He did with Peter. Now you are standing there with the author and finisher of your faith. And what He tells these guys is, look, wait in Jerusalem until you receive this power. They wait on the Lord. The 120 that waited there received it. And what happened was they were given a power that enabled them to put to death anything in them that kept them from being what God intended them to be. And out of that power and out of that manifestation in their life, they then went on to do the works of the Lord. They went on to do whatever it was external that God had, but it was from an inner change. So when you go on into Acts chapter 2 and you read about just even Peter at the day of Pentecost, this is the same Peter that way back is denying Christ to a servant girl and freaked out about a cock crowing over here. I mean, it's like, this is the same Peter that now he's standing before the very people that were crying crucify some 50 days earlier. And he's standing there with boldness saying, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God made both Lord and Christ." And they were cut to the heart because there's the power of God flowing through them. God gives that power to make change. Now, so here's what happens. You and I, we stop, we bow our knee before the King. Now you are in a place of spiritual submission by your free will to receive what God has for you. And in that receiving process, what He does, if you ask, because He said, look, if a son asks for a stone, will his father give him a stone? Or if a son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks, thank you. If he asks for, and basically, if you ask for something good, will the father give you, will your natural father give you something bad? Likewise, He said, how much more will the Father give you the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? So if you stop and you ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, He will give you His Spirit in full. That will be like rivers of living water flowing through you. Now, you ask for the Holy Spirit not so that you can speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a manifestation, but that's not the purpose. You ask for this Holy Spirit not so that you can have signs and wonders. That's a manifestation, but that's not the purpose. You will receive, Jesus told what the power was, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me. You will have the power ultimately to put to death anything in your life that keeps you out of spiritual alignment with the Spirit of God so that you can walk through this life free in Him. Thank God for that. So basically what that means is, whatever it is that you have an issue with that's keeping you out of where God intends you to be, you now have the power to break free of that. Where the world has no power, you have. So the person with an addiction, that can be broken today. The person with a sexual issue that can be stopped today. A person with unforgiveness and animosity and bitterness and all of these things that they can't let go of because stuff that happened to them when they were 5 years old, that can be put to death in Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit of God right now. And what it takes is a person willfully asking the Father, receiving, and letting Him set them free so that they can now be what God intended them to be for the entire duration of their life here in this earth. Now, God gives that. The world does everything that it possibly can to keep you from that. It doesn't want you to have that. See, again, back to Galatians 5, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It wants you bound. And so what the world will do is it will say, whatever it is that you've got going on, you are allowed that. You deserve that. Because your mother ran out on you when you were 12. You know, you deserve to be able to. You can be, and you know what? If you want to, you can hold on to that till you're in the grave. And it will rot and steal every single day, a part of what every single day could have been in Christ had you let that go. The world will say, oh, you know what? Everybody cheats on their wives. You know, oh, why are you denying yourself that thing? You know, you're traveling, man's got needs. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, rather than, because 90% of the businessmen are doing that. Versus, you know, the Spirit of God and the power of God that quickens a person in their mortal bodies, where they're like, you know what? No. No. Hell no. Because they've got something with Him that is worth far more. And they don't want to be out of alignment with the Father. They don't want that being there. And so whatever addictions that might have been there even before, that's, you know what? I got the power now. You can go back to that. See, you can take that to the Father and you can bring that before Him. You're like, you know what? I don't have to. I'm not a slave to the world system anymore. See, that's another thing too, is we have compassion to a degree because we understand that people are in so many ways products of their circumstances as well. So if you and I were put in a different situation, we too, you know, might have had a similar thing. Now there is to a point in that everybody can make the choice and the decision. Do you choose to bow to the world system? Or do you choose to bow your knee to the King of Kings? And at that point, there is a dividing. At that point, there is a separation. At that point, the children of light go this way, the children of darkness go that way. But we have compassion for those that come up to that because we get kicked around here. And a lot of things happen here. And so we stop. Thank God for the stuff that you're spared from. And also, you know, and that's why too, in Christ, what's so beautiful is you get a new life and a new beginning in Him. You get a new heart. You get a new chance. Then this life now is lived not in your strength, but in His strength, in His power, in who He is. That's what's so cool here is that it's not my power. It's not me in my best efforts quitting cigarettes. It's not me and like, okay, now I'm just not going to do it anymore. And I really want that pack. You know, I really, really want that. You know, so, no, it's not that. It's not even about the cigarette. It's like, if the Spirit of God quickens, and here's the thing too, the Spirit of God will quicken you in that area. So, if it's not an issue for Him, don't worry about it. But what happens is like for you, as you're walking with Him, so you're walking with Him, you're walking with Him, you've been walking with Him for 2 years. And after 2 years of walking with Him, He will then say, you know, there's something going on in you that, you know, I've been meaning to talk to you about. You know that issue you got with your mom? You need to let that go. And I'm going to give you the power to let that go. Yeah. He will quicken you to that. Because again, this is part of our process. This is part of our process of walking out this life in freedom in Christ Jesus. Now here's something also that's cool. The more trashed you were, the more beat up that you were, the bigger the wreck was that your life was before God picked you up, scooped you up, and brought you unto Himself, the more I've seen that God's power and life flows through those people, through the brokenness that they have and who they were before. And
they
also,
are the ones who, I think, who become real people. I mean, not superficial.
Yeah, no, when someone has had, you know, that's why too, like, I really like working with drug addicts. Because when you get a drug addict, when you get a guy that was, you know, strung out for 30 years, and then the power of God comes into that person's life. Now, his own mom doesn't want him in the house because he steals the jewelry and, you know, and everything is a lie and all of that. So, I mean, his own family doesn't want to have anything to do with him. When you get a person like that, that's life then is now turned over to the Father and changed. That person, through that kind of a brokenness, will, if they come to the Lord with all that they are, they're just beautiful people.
They're stripped away of everything.
Because they've been stripped away of everything and they've got nowhere else to go, and they receive Christ with all of their heart, and when they do, it's just Him. Because they got nothing else, it's just Him. So, versus somebody who is pretentious and who feels like they're good enough and feels like God owes me because I have been this and I have been that, and don't you know that I did all of these things right, and so now where is my comeuppance? You know, there's no place for that. In fact, when somebody has that type of a thing, what God will do is, if they still want to walk with Him, is He will take them through a path that will burn all of that off. He will take you through. If you think that there's stuff like that in some area, in some areas, He will take you through a path where He will burn all of those things off, because those themselves become mental bondages as well. AKA the church system of the world, which is at enmity with God, where people are in there and they've got their whole list and sets of things that are all there, and in that process too, you got a lot of people that think that they're good enough and a lot of people that aren't good enough, and you know, and here's because we've done this and we've said that, and now we are in God's good books and we now have the right to lord it over who, you know what I'm saying? So God wants to shake people free of that. See, you can be in bondage in so many different ways. You can be in a whole nother religious bondage, where I've seen people go from one into another. I have seen people go from, in Galatians 5, here, let's go back there. I should have marked, but alas, thank you, Lord. Okay, Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Right. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither is circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. And then it goes a little leaven at the whole lump. Okay. And I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Right. Now, okay. Starts off with you know, you're free, and as soon as you get free, somebody comes and tries to get you wrapped up in bondage. And now this one here, there was a case that Paul was dealing with, which was this thing called, there's these guys called the Judaizers, which basically what they were saying was, okay, now they were going around, and as soon as people were coming to Christ, and they were saying, okay, now that you have come to Christ, now here's some additional things you got to do so that you're really right with God. And they started, and basically Paul had to go back in and confront this whole thing, because it was again trying to bring people back under another form of bondage as soon as they've been set free. Now he was dealing here with just a specific issue, which was, alright, Gentiles were coming to Christ, and in the process of coming to Christ, then these guys showed up and said, oh, okay, now you come to Christ, so now you need to get right, so here's something that you need to do, and here's something that you need to do in your flesh, which is get circumcised. And so they were, and it's like, and Paul had to deal with that, but it's not as much that activity as such as the principle behind it, which was, you know, get people back into a thing where you now have to do something in yourself, and so it's back to works. It's back to works. It's back to the law. It's back to the bondage that people just were set free from. Very subtly, very, very subtly. Now you put that and you overlay that again to the religions of this world. See, religions of this world, they allude to this thing of freedom. Okay, let's just take Buddhism for example. The whole thing of nirvana, empty yourself of desire, go through these different stages of being set free from everything that you would ever want, and relax and let go. And now you are, you know, and these different things that they try to do to bring themselves into a form of alignment, which is, you know, with the chanting and all of those things, to basically get to that place of emptying themselves. The problem is, you'll never be empty as a human vessel, because, you know, I can empty this bottle here, there's still going to be air inside it. I mean, you do not exist in a vacuum. So the fact that you don't exist in a vacuum, you will never be able to empty yourself, period. You need to be filled. That's why scriptures say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. You don't need to be emptied, you need to be filled. And what happens is when you're filled, like take again this bottle here. If it's filled, and I keep filling with water, if there's impurities in there, the more, as I just keep filling, it's overflowing now, keep filling, as that filling process goes, if I ran that for a day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, eventually what was in there will be washed out. It will get washed out. It will get, so it just be filled to overflowing continuously and remain in alignment with the Spirit of God, and whatever it is that's you going, what's going on with you, God will wash that out of you as the Spirit of God's flowing through you. But the religions of this world, see, they realize there is something in your makeup as being made in the image and likeness of God, that you desire certain things. So you want freedom, and they dangle that carrot there of saying freedom, but it isn't there in the end. You see that? So it's like, okay, oh, you can get freedom if you can. You can. So they're saying, you know, you can get freedom if you can empty yourself. So people go, they try to empty themselves, they try, and they still can't do it. So there's went 30 years of their life trying to empty themselves. They didn't do it, if they decided to. Most of them would just rather show up on a poya, take a little bit of fruit over there, and hope they're okay. So you've got that. Then you've got the karma thing, and the Hinduism thing, and Islam, and guys going and crashing planes into buildings, thinking they're going to get 70 virgins. And, you know, by the time you're done with this whole thing, the problem is, is everybody's screwed up. They're all fighting and devouring each other, and there's nothing. And God, He's, and truth is there. The truth is there. Alignment with Creator is there, but it comes on His terms. And the beginning of that point is bowing your knee before the King of Kings, which is Christ Jesus, and submitting to His lordship and His rule and His reign, and then allowing for Him to fill you with His Spirit so that you can now begin to be washed and set free as the flow of the Spirit of God flows into and through you, rather than all the rest of this garbage that's out there. Now, there's good principles with some of this stuff. For example, there's cool things about... There's good wisdom in a lot of these things. But ultimately, they're based on a premise that falls short. Because anything based in your efforts, in your abilities, you can't do it. You are a limited, finite being with an infinite number of problems you will end up having to deal with while you're here in this world as you just continue to live. So many different things can happen and come your way. But there is, you need an unlimited source, which is available in Creator. Now, wow, okay. Now here's something to note and to keep in mind. For us, now you and I, we're people that have committed ourselves to the walk in Christ and to freedom. So you want that. I want that. I desire that freedom in myself. I will not allow something to shackle me. You know, I've got this thing about me now where it's like if something comes my way, I've gotten angry bull. Yes. I have gotten more and more of the angry bull thing going on with me now where I'm just like, oh, you want to try to climb on this? Okay. You know, it's like, I mean, it's just because, why? Because there is this element where for...
Like, maybe it's actually...
Yeah, you just see me as a bull. Okay. No, because the problem is that you, when you start knowing also the way the world is working, you won't have any of it. Now, okay, the world system understands that. So the world system works in a progression as well with the people of God. First thing the world would want to do with you, I'll go through some preferences of the world and working with people. The first preference of the world and the world system and what it's ultimately designed to do is to take your soul to hell by your free will and your rejection of Christ Jesus. So the first thing the world wants to do, if it has its way, if it gets what it wants, is it would take your soul to hell by your free will, your choosing to be part of the system, and your rejection of Christ Jesus, and also on the way, I should add, and using every gift, talent, skill, anything that you have to further perpetuate that same system to get other souls, to hunt other souls, to enslave other people. That's what it would do. Use you up on the way out the door. Okay. If it can't get that, the next... Now, so say somebody has bowed their knee before Christ. Okay. The next option with you is this. If it can't get you, then to get you out of alignment, to keep you out of alignment with the Father, and to, if at all possible, to kill you. So, if it can't get you to reject truth, then what can we now do to keep you from being aligned with the Creator, and if at all possible, to kill you? So, poisoning your air, your water, your food, your whatever it is that's there, and to just bombard you and to torment you on every side, in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul, any way possible to keep you from being aligned with the Father. Now, things will come your way. Guaranteed, they'll continue to come. But you and I, something very simple that we can do is when you bow your knee before the Creator at any moment in time, at any moment in the day, start your day this way. Fantastic, start your day this way. Because then you, when you go into everything that goes on through the day, you're starting from a position of alignment. not out of joint, out of sorts, and not trying to get through just the misery of every single day. No, you're going through the day in connection. But it takes some discipline. It takes some commitment. But the world says, all right, if it can't get you, then to keep you out of alignment with the Father and to kill you if at all possible. If that doesn't work, so it can't kill you, and you are walking with the Father and in alignment, the next option for the world system is to ostracize you and to keep you from any access or opportunity and to leave you in the wilderness and hope you go away. So, which was John the Baptist, which was, you start going down the list of all these different guys. But basically, if it can't get you out of alignment, it can't kill you off because God is protecting you and sustaining you, and you won't bow your knee before the system, okay, then ostracize you. If it can't kill you, because like you've got the protection of God that's around you, and like Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord, and I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it up again, which he did. Likewise, we're given that same power. No man takes our lives. Nobody takes my life. They cannot take my life until my time and my purpose in this world according to the plan and purpose of God has finished. They could drop a nuclear bomb on top of my head. And in the dropping process, unless my time in this world and your time in this world is up, unless that is finished, and unless God's plan and time for you is finished, then you will, everything will melt around you, and you will just be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego inside the fiery furnace, standing right there.
But you shouldn't think. No.
We don't. Because of course Jesus said when in Luke chapter 4, when the devil was testing him and trying to get him to jump off the temple, he said, "Thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test." So you don't do that. But you realize if you're walking in step with him, and if you're walking in step with him, that he will command his angels concerning you, that you won't strike your foot against the sun.
You are driving fast, and you are saying, somebody else said, don't drive fast. No, don't drive fast, somebody said. Then do you say, no, if my time is up, I will go. But that is not the right answer to say for that, isn't it? because that can be a warning. That can be a warning to somebody saying, don't drive fast because it can be harmful to you.
I believe this is something you should take before God individually and pray about it.
It's just an example.
Because again, you know, God will speak to you on all of these things, even something that's there. So, now, but the point, the bigger point in this one is, I know. The bigger point in this one is that we have purpose in this world. Now, what the world system will do though, this is the third option for the world system, is to ostracize you, to keep you away from access or opportunity, and to leave you in the wilderness if at all possible. So it will work to do that.
Give you a fast car. The world will give you a fast car.
Now this is welcome to freedom.
Yeah.
No, but just you have to realize that this is part of it. Welcome to freedom. Now you will occasionally have someone like a Daniel or a Joseph that will be in certain positions, you know, but that's by God's design, God's orchestration. They didn't want that for themselves, but God created that opportunity there. And even when they're in that, all of the turmoil that they went through to be in that position and all of the struggle that was there for them to walk with him, walk clean before him, and not... You see, I mean, those guys, even most people are like, oh yeah, I want to be like Joseph, I want to be like Daniel. No, they don't. They want to be like a sellout and do whatever to be, they don't want to walk that line. Because if, you know, frankly,
they won't go out there and say, look, I'm like Joseph and Daniel.
No, there's very few. There's very few Josephs, very few Daniels. By and large, what you have is a bunch of Jeremiah's, Elijah's, just you know, like you will be, you Paul's, Peter's. You will most of the time have gone down, you know, on a lot of levels, you know. But God will have risen you up in the level of spirit, and it will matter. And then you'll have ups and downs as well. Things will happen, you know. Like you will have times when you know, like things will be, you'll have really, really good and it look like everything's coming together. And then as soon as that happens, they will try to pull the rug out from under you all over again. You know, just to see if they can cause you pain. Just to see if will you now turn around and repent to the world, not to God, but to the world, and ask to be forgiven by them for walking with Christ. But no, we just let it go. We just bounce on through. One business closes, one business opens. Yeah, who cares? One opportunity comes, one opportunity closes, doesn't matter. You may be the CEO, you may be the janitor, it doesn't matter. As long as you are aligned with the Spirit of God, that's what the most important thing becomes. So what happens in you is you just say, look, it doesn't matter, back to the external. It doesn't matter what's going on the external level or the external reality. My desire is within, for my heart, my spirit, my soul, my body, my flesh, my mind, the entire being of who I am, to be lined up with the Creator, so that the life that I live now in the earth is what He intended it to be. That's the desire. That becomes a heart. And then when we begin down that track, and when you begin to taste what that is, you don't want anything else. Now the problem happens for a lot of people is they will, because of life and circumstance and situations, they will allow things in their lives that will keep them out of alignment. They allow them in there because of the circumstances and situation of life. But wherever you're at, you can make a decision, you can make a change, and it may be that you have to walk this thing out alone, or with one person, or with two people, or maybe not. So be it. Because in the end, the desire is Christ. So we're called into that. We're called for freedom, to truly know what it is that is there. And when you know that, you won't have anything else. So time goes very, very, very quickly.